We're going to be looking at the 1 Corinthians, the first and second chapters this morning. And it's quite a synopsis of Paul describing the differences between those who are God's children and those who are not God's children. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and that with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of house of Cholo, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that I say every one of you, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I have baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own house. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But in Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know all things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and he, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, there's an awful lot in those two chapters, but I can tell you that it's very much worth our going through. Again, as Paul begins so many of his writings, he always lets people know that he is called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It had nothing to do with his will. It was God's will that called him. And that he also lets people know that, or focuses on, that the churches of God are sanctified in Jesus Christ. They're called to be saints. And that he always focuses on grace. Grace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he thanks God for the grace of God which is given by Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about God's faithfulness, who called them to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. So he's given all the glory to Jesus Christ in the calling, in the sanctification, in the knowledge that are imparted to the saints in Christ Jesus. And then he makes an admonition or an exhortation that they all speak the same doctrine, that there's not any divisions among them. You know, he said that there were some there, that were some were saying they were Paul, some were saying they were Apollos, some were saying they were Cephas, and some were saying they were Christ. And we see that today. We see so many different people taking on different people's names, people taking on the name of Luther, people taking on the name of Calvin, people taking on the name of Wesley, people taking on the name of whoever, Billy Graham, D. James Kennedy, you know, all of these different people taking on somebody's name. But here he says Christ is not divided. And that, again, he makes a focus that, you know, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on baptism. You know, how many baptisms they've gotten in the church. Paul says Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And he says that the preaching of the cross is of them that perish is foolishness. But to them which are saved, it is the power of God. So, he explains that the gospel is a two-edged sword. It's a sword it quickens its life to God's elect, but it's a hardening to those who are not God's elect. And he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God hath made the foolish the wisdom of this world. What's he talking about there? Well, the wisdom of this world is that man has a free will, that man is able to pick himself up by his bootstraps and do anything he wants to do, that man is in charge of his own destiny by his decision-making powers, that man can choose to become anything he wants to be. But he says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. So a vehicle to bring salvation to God's elect is preaching. But notice that those believe the gospel before they receive the gospel. Okay, and where does belief come from? Well, belief comes from God. In John, it says that this is the work of God, that you believe on him. He says, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. We see that even today, that most of the Jews deny the Messiah. They are still looking for a Messiah. They don't embrace Christ, most of them. Now, there are some that do, that have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he says, unto the Greeks, foolishness. The Greeks would be those today who are, a good metaphor would be those academicians, those doctors of the law, those philosophers, those with their PhD in biology or chemical engineering, that can tell you all the reasons why there is systems in place to justify evolution, for example. But he says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he makes a distinction to those who can receive God's wisdom, to those who are called. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the ones that he just said had, for most part, were not receiving, but he says he makes a condition unto them which are called. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He's saying that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. And narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and many that find it. And the ones that find the narrow way are the ones that are called. he goes on to say, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, but God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You notice how everything as it relates to salvation here that Paul is talking about is originating from God. It doesn't originate from a spark of good within us or some kind of something that's in ourselves, free moral agency or something. In other words, all of the belief and faith and everything results from God's calling us, from God's choice. If there's any choice in salvation, it's the choice of God, of his elect, to impart salvation to whom he chooses. He goes on and says, and the base things of the world and things which are despised, God hath not chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, the reason that God chose to not give man a free will in salvation, the reason God did not give any inkling of salvation, impart any part of that to man, was it so no man, no flesh, should glory in his presence. That's why he did it the way he did it. That's why he elected us. That's why he predestinated us. That's why he chose us. That's why he called us. That's why he justified us, sanctified us, glorified us. That's why he knew us before the foundation of the world. Because he wanted to make certain that no flesh should glory in his presence. But he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, he says, it's all of God. And he ends that first chapter by saying that according as written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And he goes on and says, he came not in the excellency of speech or wisdom, but in the... he says, I determined to know, not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men. In other words, Paul did not come preaching a free will gospel. He did not come preaching a Robert Schuller doctrine of the exaltation of the creature. He did not come saying you can be anything you want to be. He did not come with possibility thinking. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he said that the wisdom among them, not the wisdom of this world, because the princes of this world had come to naught. But he says he speaks the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In other words, God's immutable counsel. Okay. God's immutable counsel has hidden the wisdom from those who he has chosen to hide it from. And he's revealed it or foreordained it before the world unto our glory. Ordination, by the way, ordain means to decree, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, he said that, you know, these people that were in high places, like Pilate, and these people who were trying to kill Jesus from the time of his birth, Herod, if they had known that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they would not have crucified the Lord of Glory. That's what he's saying. Whereas it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God could reveal this to anyone he wanted to by his Spirit. He had the power to reveal. He had the power to reveal the deep things of God to anybody he wants to reveal them to. But God, he says, has chosen to reveal them to who he wants to reveal them to. And God has the power to reveal whatever he wants to his creatures. And he says, for God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, a man can't just decide that he's going to understand the things of God. He can't just make a choice. Only God, through His Holy Spirit, can reveal those things to us. And it's God's decision whom He reveals those things to. He says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We don't have this knowledge through our free will. We have the knowledge because God's the one that's given us the wisdom. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, question I have, everybody says, well, everybody has a free will. Okay, well, next verse says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Where's the free will in that? If God is declaring here through Paul that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto them, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned, then it proves there it has nothing to do with our free will, which we don't have. It has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ is the one. The Father has given us to the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the one that enlightens us to the truth of the gospel. For who hath known the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So this is a tremendous passage that teaches that where our salvation comes from is from God. It's not innate, hidden in the wicked, depraved, dead in their trespasses soul of man, but it is quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, for whom God chose to quicken it to. And I thank God that we don't have to rely upon our own wisdom to understand what God has done for us in the power of the cross and the fact that this was accomplished according to Paul before the world unto our glory. It was foreordained, which God ordained before the world. Okay? This is the wisdom of God in a mystery, which God ordained or decreed before the world unto our glory. So this is a tremendous passage of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, how that it quickens us, how that it gives you all the glory in all things, including our salvation. And the fact that we are not relying upon the wisdom of men, but we're relying upon the power of God in our salvation. We thank you for this passage of instruction by Paul. We pray that you would help us to understand it through the power of your Holy Spirit, and that it would quicken us to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in all things. We ask this in Christ's name and for His glory alone. Amen.